Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden.
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Everybody, welcome to the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up, with me, Julie Hayden, and Chuck Bonnywell. He is at the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle World Headquarters. The newspaper comes out this week. He's working on that. I just talked to him. He should be joining us, but he will be here at any second. Today, big news. At least I can be curious to see what you guys think. Huge news, I think, today regarding Tina Peters and even the bigger picture, the broader picture, some election integrity stuff that I think could be seen as vindicating people like Joel Altman, Mike Lindell, Cindy Powell, Rudy Giuliani, Peg Hage, all of the people, and us included, who have talked for a long time about election machines and voting machines. And it's kind of a lot to unpack, so bear with me. And feel free if you want to raise your hand and comment. You can join in, or if you want to comment on the side, I can read your comments there. But so here is what has happened here in the past few days. Guy by the name, a lawyer by the name of Peter Tichen, who, by the way, is a good friend of President Trump's, who, by the way, is the main guy who helped orchestrate and write up and get the pardons for the January 6th people, has written a letter, a formal letter to President Trump, formally asking him to pardon Tina Peters. Now, in this letter, he goes through a lot of the stuff we're already familiar with, just the complete miscarriage of justice, how she was railroaded, the outrageous comments by the judge, the outrageous prison sentence that she's, what, I think 430 some days into serving right now, and her health continually declining. He goes into all of that. But what's even, to me, particularly interesting is new information regarding essentially, I think there's no other word for it, but the international weaponization of our election system. What he talks about in this is a guy by the, he was a former, I guess, military intelligence guy. So the main number one spy in Venezuela, but guy by the name of Hugo, and I'm sure I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Carvalho Barrios. Okay. Forget his name. He was an ex-spy chief in Venezuela. In June of this year, he pled guilty in the United States to narco-terrorism, essentially weaponizing with the Venezuelan government and people like him, weaponizing the drug trade, money laundering, things like that, in an attempt to basically undercut the United States. Oh, hello, that's what President Trump has been telling us all along. But when you submit the plea deal, there's something that they add to that, which is called the proffer. And that's all the stuff that could be proven or that this guy would be willing to talk about if there was a trial. So it's called a legal proffer. Well, the legal proffer apparently was just released last week, right? And in this legal proffer, the guy goes through a whole bunch of misdeeds and evil doings by Venezuela. But then he also talks about a national security investigation involving Venezuela, Smartmatic, and Dominion, which were the voting machine systems. I'm going to give you a little bit of background. And again, bear with me here because it's a little tricky. Smartmatic, Dominion, Venezuela. Here's how they all tie together. Smartmatic was a voting system that was developed in Venezuela. Okay. In 2005, Smartmatic bought another company called Sequoia, which was a voting machines company. Okay. In 2010, Dominion bought Sequoia. Okay. So Dominion, the election deniers will try to say there's no connection between Smartmatic and Dominion. Well, you know, when I went to the TV station, it was bought and sold several times, right? And so technically they weren't the same company, but everybody was the same. The machines were the same. The cameras were the same. The equipment was the same. When one company bought the other company, really not much changed, right? They just kind of, I don't know what, incorporated each other. So that's a connection between Smartmatic and Dominion. What this ex-military spy chief said in this proffer, and this is, like I said, there's no other way to describe this except the weaponization of the election system in the United States. This is his proffer. This is his quote. He said, Smartmatic was born as an electoral tool of the Venezuelan regime, but soon derived into a tool to help keep the regime stay in power forever. I know this because I placed the head of IT of the National Electoral College in his position, and he reported directly to me. The Smartmatic system can be altered. This is a fact. This technology was later exported abroad, including to the United States. Regime operatives maintain relationships with election officials and voting machine companies inside your country. Let me read that again. Regime operatives maintain relationships with election officials and voting machine companies inside your country. I do not claim that every election is stolen, but I state with certainty that elections can be rigged with the software and has been used to do so. So, I mean, that's you know, we've heard about that. We've heard people claim this. But this is a guy, the spy chief in Venezuela, who is in charge of doing all of this. He says, I do not claim that every election is stolen, but I state with certainty that elections can be rigged with the software and has been used to do so. So where does Tina Peters come in? Well, in asking for this presidential pardon, this lawyer notes that basically there is a federal investigation going on into foreign intelligence operatives who embedded themselves into the United States election infrastructure. Now, we're going to go back here to Smartmatic. What happened to Smartmatic by Sequoia? Eric Coomer, we've heard his name connected with the Dominion. At that time, he's a pretty high up guy with Sequoia. So now Smartmatic and Sequoia are merged, right? A lot of the Smartmatic people are now working with, and the guy states in other places, under the under the supervision of Eric Coomer, then Dominion by Sequoia. So now Eric Coomer and all of the Smartmatic, Sequoia, now everybody just transfers over to Dominion. So there's the connection there, right? And it talks about that Smartmatic deliberately embedded, this is the allegation, I guess, from the attorney, deliberately embedded themselves into the United States election system. That they also claim that election software can and has been used to rig elections, okay? Then they go to 2020. So what happens in 2020, Tina Peters is the clerk and recorder of Mesa County. There's a 2020 election. Jenna Griswold, a Democrat, corrupt as all get out, basically says, oh, we're going to do the words for this, cue me, a trusted build. We're going to do a trusted build at the request of Dominion, okay? Because it was the Dominion voting machine system and machines and software. So Dominion says we have to do a trusted build. Well, that's kind of like saying I have swampland in Florida to sell you, right? It's like, you know, trusted build. What's that? Well, what that was is we're going to go in and we're going to delete essentially all of the records of the 2020 election. And Tina Peters is like, well, that doesn't seem right. So Tina Peters, and I guess we could have lengthy discussions about how she went about this, how she released the information, all of that. But essentially, what Tina Peters did was make a copy of the 2020 election results, all of it, okay, not just like the final numbers, but all of it, in Mesa County before Jenna Griswold and Dominion came in and deleted everything. Once Dominion realized this happened, because they were talking about it, I think at a Mike Lindell symposium, right, which again, maybe wasn't the smartest way to release it, Dominion sent a letter to Jenna Griswold alerting them to this fact and then pointing out that in their eyes it was criminal. And the rest is history. Tina Peters is relentlessly persecuted and is now serving some 430 some days so far of a 9-year prison sentence in Colorado prison. Her health is deteriorating. She has, and is the witness to, because I think this exists elsewhere, but probably one of the few election results from 2020 before everybody went in and started deleting them and doing their trusted build on them. So the lawyer's argument here to get Tina out is that, you know, she's a material witness in this case. Not only that, but she's a material witness being held essentially by a hostile government, because Jenna Griswold, the Democrats, all of these people constantly are supporting Dominion, constantly saying, no, it can't be rigged. It's a gold standard, et cetera, et cetera. Well, there is now a federal investigation apparently going into just how gold this gold standard is. Were there foreign operatives embedded? What exactly is the truth of the matter? And Tina Peters is a material witness in the case. And she would be a material witness against Jenna Griswold and all of these people who have conspired to silence her, not very successfully, but they certainly are punishing her for it. So, you know, now Chuck is, he was going to come and he says, it's one thing to have all that. It's another thing to like legally get her out. And so, you know, I don't know. I think that they could probably subpoena her and get her out. This is the other thing I wanted to raise about this. So this Peter Tichen is, he's a friend of Trump's, right? He's not some Colorado lawyer just kind of randomly writing a letter to Trump asking him to release Tina Peters. This guy is a friend of Trump's and he's released this. He's the one who helped get all the January 6th people pardoned. My guess is we had Trump ask nicely. We had Trump ask not nicely to release Tina Peters. My guess is that Peter Tichen didn't write this in a vacuum, right? That the Trump administration has no idea. They're like, well, where did this come from, right? My guess is they knew this was coming and that, and I hope I'm right here, that this could be step one in an actual real, not just a battle of words or, you know, comments on Twitter, but a real legal battle to get Tina Peters out of prison in Colorado. This is from Jacob. I understand that if Tina Peters would be sworn in as a federal marshal and she dies in prison, the gatekeepers could be on the hook for the death penalty. Oh, that's kind of an interesting provision. But I think what I wanted to talk about, and feel free to weigh in. So this, there's been a lot of talk about all of this, you know, the election integrity, and they keep saying, oh, it's not true, it's not true. Well, now you have, again, this Venezuelan spy chief saying, you know, he can't say for certain which elections or what elections were rigged or not rigged, but he's saying, you know, certainly they have been in other places and certainly it's possible. And we know that this was part of the plot to weaponize the election system in the United States. And Steve Bannon talked about this today, and here's what he had to say. Hey, Thomas, if you could please play the Bannon soundbite.
We're a gold star mother, a hero, whose son gave his life in defense of his country. How's a gold star mother, 70 years old, in ill health? How is she in a medium security prison, a state prison in Colorado, when everything's coming out today about these machines? Remember, we're not machine guys. We feel they stole it the old-fashioned way as far as mail-in ballots and illegal people voting and people on the voter rolls are not supposed to be there, all of it. They gun-decked this thing in all these states. Pretty evident about that, very evident about that. But the machines are a festering sore in this country. Tina Peters was a hero. She is a hero. She remains a hero. So the question is asked, how is anybody free if Tina Peters is not free?
And then, oh, and Chuck is with us. Hey, Chuck, welcome to the Chuck and Julie show.
Well, thank you. You've got a great show, you guys.
Thank you. So, yeah, you know, I think, one, I kind of agree with Bannon. I think that I agree with him that I think the elections are mainly rigged right now, the old fashioned way through the ballot harvesting and the, you know, corrupt ballot rolls or voters and all of that kind of thing. On the other hand, though, this letter and these comments from this former spy chief of Venezuela certainly raise the issue. I mean, he's claiming essentially that they have weaponized not just the election system itself, the voting machines themselves have been weaponized in the United States. And I think we've heard about other places around the country. And then Jacob says, if there are foreign operatives at Dominion, then there are maybe foreign influences in our election. And Jenna Griswold let this happen. Yeah, well, you know, not just Jenna Griswold, but you got Matt Crane, who's theoretically a Republican, who's the head of the County Clerks Association. You had Wayne Williams, the former Secretary of State, who brought in Dominion. Now, I'm not suggesting they knew all of that. You know, maybe even Jenna Griswold. I mean, this is kind of complicated stuff, right? But to have somebody who's like raising their hand and saying, hey, I just kind of wonder about all of this. And they go, you go to prison now, right? I mean, when you think, yes, she made missteps, right? Yes, she could have handled things better. But Tina Peters, all she really did was make a copy of the 2020 election results, which she argues she had the right to do as a clerk and recorder before Jenna Griswold and Dominion went in there and deleted them. Now, Jenna Griswold and Dominion, I mean, Dominion has filed lawsuit after lawsuit. They've slapped all kinds of people down for even raising any questions. And now, like I said, you have the former head of, you know, the spy organization in Venezuela saying that essentially it's been intentionally weaponized in the United States and other countries. And all of us, and there's a federal investigation going on. And everyone's like, can't talk about that. Can't talk about that. Can't talk about it. Debunked. You're an election denier. mean, I don't know, Chuck,
Well,
you think.
hopefully they can get an FBI team on, maybe the same one that did the Unabomber, not the Unabomber, but the
January 6th bomber.
RNC bomber for 4 years, and get those people working every day and night. Offer a $500,000 reward, and we'll find out. We'll get to the bottom of this.
Well, this is so much more complicated, right? Because it's spies. I mean, how do you prove? I mean, it's one thing to say that these people came in from Venezuela under Smartmatic. Then when Smartmatic bought Sequoia, well, then they kind of shifted over to Sequoia. Same Venezuelan people, right? Same Venezuelan workers under Eric Coomer. And then when Dominion bought Sequoia, they all kind of went over there. And like I said, he's saying that some of them were embedded, basically, with the intention of messing with the United States elections. What?
Really?
Yeah. Hey, Charlene, go ahead.
First of all, whatever it takes to get Tina out, I don't care if it's a psyop, something they've just come up with to tie in Venezuela, because they need us to believe Venezuela is just the root of all evil. It used to be Ukraine, now it's Venezuela. I don't care what they use, as long as they get her out, and let that be a lesson to other people that you can stick your neck out. But don't stick it out too far, because they are going to let you rot. And right now, she's kind of a political football. And as far as getting Tina out of that prison where it's supposedly so cold, which I'm sure it is, they're filing election cases against five blue states for voter fraud, and they're going to be calling up witnesses. The one they haven't filed a lawsuit against is Colorado, which all that's going on here, you would think that would be one of them. New Jersey was one of them. But they could, the DOJ can call up local election officials to as witnesses to DOJ investigations into presidential elections. And she was a local election official as county clerk in Mesa County.
Well,
And
and so, yeah, and
that's
so
pretty
that's
much,
just, oh, go ahead.
and they can, they're witnesses to investigate, and then they can put them in some federal posh facility like they have Ghislaine Maxwell right now,
Right,
community college type, gets to pet dogs and do all that stuff. And so they could do that right now. And what bothers me, and I hope they are just building a case, building it, building. But in the meantime, she's supposedly getting sicker and sicker, and they need to get her out of there as soon as possible. And they could do that right now. And when Trump gets on there with his many tweets, he's had about eight so far, and he's acting like he's a cheerleader like me that says, "Polis, please release her, please release her." When he is the authority, he has his DOJ that can get her called up as a witness into custody, into a much nicer facility, and she can recuperate and get well. So I'm just real suspect of him begging Polis as though he has no power himself.
Well,
So,
it is trickier than a couple.
and it used to be, the election results were sent to Ukraine. Now they're sent to Venezuela, and that's okay. I don't care which country they decide where the beast, the heart of the beast is. But just get her out of there and quit dickering around. I said dickering around.
But I think, though, in a way, and Chuck, you could weigh in on this because you're the lawyer. I understand, and you're right, and it's frustrating. But I think it's not always that. I mean, Trump just can't like call up the prison. I mean, the prison's already said we won't release her, right? And the prison.
No. There is a statute that you don't. The warden, the prison, the warden of the prison gets a document from the DOJ. We need this person as a witness. They do not have any say so. They cannot refuse it. The
Right,
government
but there
no.
has
Or
to
if they do
be,
refuse it,
yeah.
they're
But two
political
things,
prisoners.
Charlene.
They're
There
not
has
going to
to
let them
be,
go.
number one, there has to be a case, right? So if there
But there
is,
has to be a case. Exactly. And so why isn't there a case? There's a case against
that's what
five
this
of them.
guy is. That's what I'm saying is huge about this letter. Is this letter, for the first time to my knowledge, reveals that there is an actual investigation.
But they really don't even need this. this convicted spy, and so we're taking the word of a convicted who has this perfect.
No, we do. I think we do need him because he's the one. All the rest has been speculation. It's been Sidney Powell saying things. It's been us saying things.
No, but what I'm saying, he's a prisoner and a narco terrorist, and so all we need is a letter from him.
No, that's not a letter from him, Charlene. It's a legal document that was released by the government this week. So I think you got to read between, this is me being hopeful. You got to read between the lines. I mean, there's so much going on. I mean, the election thing is just one part of what he's talking about. But it is, it's not
is
just.
Is this guy a convicted narco-terrorist?
He pled guilty in June. But yes. this is a legal document that was just released that he filed when he pled guilty, right? Where he says, here's the stuff that I could that I could tell you about. And what the lawyer for Tina is saying, this kind of changes things. This takes it out of, there is an active case. It's looking into, among other things, this. But I think in order to release Tina, you need a case number. You need a witness.
Well, all they need to do is file a case against a blue state, which is Colorado, for election problems with election integrity. And they've already filed that case in five other states. They haven't filed it in Colorado. That's all they need to do is file that case.
Yeah.
And then they say, we need this person. I have been on Grok about this. I have asked 10 different ways. What can they do? And this is what they've said. They said they have to request her as a witness.
Right. There has to be a case, and then they can request her as a witness.
And the governor is not even involved. They present it to the Bureau of Prisons, and they release her into federal.
And they do that all the time. On the other hand, as Chuck said, they can refuse. They could say, no, you can come interview her here. Right. I mean, and then I understand what you're saying. And I agree with you. I agree with you overall, but in my experience from covering this stuff, it's not, they have to have a case. They have to have a case ready to go. They have to have, it should not take as long as it is. And I agree with you.
Okay. But listen,
I had a feeling if it was Trump's sister there, they'd
all right, just listen to this. The U.S. Department of Justice absolutely can and frequently does call local election officials as witnesses in investigations related to presidential or federal election workers. These subpoenas are very broad and almost impossible to quash on relevance grounds.
Right. But here's the point, though. But she's in Colorado. She's not just sitting at home where she has to answer the subpoena. They have to go through the Department of Corrections to what's it called? A writ of habeas corpus, Chuck? The Department of Corrections have to agree. To release her to the federal marshal.
Yeah, absent a court order that then who knows whether Polis will do it, they're just going to say no.
Well, and the way I worded this on Grok is if a person is in prison on a convicted, on a state conviction, can the Department of Justice take them into federal custody out of state custody for a convicted sentence? That's what this is an answer to. It says absolutely they can.
It is, but it's not like you just
don't
like
saying that the people on the other side go no.
Right, but what happened is this is my guess. But I mean, it's not like they just.
Well, they would be breaking the law if they did.
Charlene. Hello.
Who cares?
You think Jenna Griswold cares if she's breaking the law?
The law
would have to work is so they would have to send this to the warden, right? The warden could say, no, I'm not going to. At that point, then they would need a court order to tell them to do that from a. My guess is, Charlene, is they know all of the obstacles.
So they've checked the plot, too.
So how is this document going to get the warden to do any different?
It's not.
Well, no, it's not. But what I'm saying is
if they can refuse it on another simpler case, which they already have, which they can already file immediately, Bondi can do it immediately. If they already have that going for them, why can't they do that? How's the warden going to respond any better to this spy chief?
Well, that's what I said. There's a bigger picture here that I want to talk about. Yes, Tina Peters is a priority. But also, though, this is, I think, the first time, at least that I've ever seen, actual sort of concrete stuff talking about the weaponization of the election system. And yes, Tina is definitely a pawn. I think you're right about this of both sides right now. More on the Colorado side, but you're right. I mean, you got to figure if this were the president's niece or something like that, that might have been a little bigger.
And I'm so tired of his helplessness. And you know, and I'm sorry I'm getting worked up, but you know that I have worked harder for Trump than I should have. And I've just thought he was the greatest, but this second term is just not what we voted for. And for him to just, oh, Polis, please release her, when he's getting people out of prison right and left, you know, convicted drug dealers, the president of Honduras, he just, you know, pardoned him a 40-year sentence for trafficking 400 tons of cocaine into the United States. He sent him back to Honduras. He got Ghislaine Maxwell into this
Right.
prison, you know, and then for him to act so helpless. And I know we've got our lot, well, we can't because of this, and but there's many opportunities. And I just, you know,
You're
I'm
saying they could give it a shot. Why not just give it a shot and then battle the op then I see what you're saying, and then battle the obstacles if they come up. In the
yeah,
meantime, go ahead. Just,
get her into custody, and then this other stuff, you know, let's just, you know.
Well, though I think it's interesting that he's jumping way ahead of that. What this lawyer's doing today is he just wants a pardon. He's saying that because it's a federal election,
Well, okay,
right?
and
So
that
he's
would
saying Trump
be
has, he said, skip all of that. Let's just go straight to the pardon system.
yeah, that would be even better if that's what it takes to get a pardon. That if we have to bring in Venezuela and get everybody mad at Venezuela so we can start war, that's fine with me. Just get Tina out of prison. That's all I care about right now.
Okay, that
All
Charlene, thank
right.
you very much.
Thanks.
This from Jacob is writing last week before the show ended that one of the secretaries of state, Jocelyn Benson of Michigan, did not sign that letter responding to the DOJ asking for voter information. In Michigan, the SOS facilitates the issuance of driver's licenses. Benson's voice is heard at Detroit's Wayne International Airport, saying travelers need to have real ID to travel through the airport. Benson's the same person who can register an individual in the Michigan voter rolls even without a real ID. I wonder why she didn't sign that letter. Oh, and this is funny. Did Wiser countersign the contract between the state of Colorado and Dominion, not knowing there may be foreign operatives at Dominion, or was Wiser not the wiser? So, and then Barney says regarding the state charges, nothing he can do. They tried with state crimes. Yeah, although, like I said, they're kind of trying to fiddle around with that and see. But I just thought this was, like I said, I mean, I was reading Joe Altman on X, you know, who was sued by Eric Comer and Mike Lindell, and this kind of vindicates them a little bit. You know, you kind of wish, you assume that maybe these Smartmatic Dominion people wish that this Venezuelan guy kept his mouth shut. But anyway, you know, did you wanted to talk a little bit more on that? We'll keep you posted on what's going on. But Chuck, you wanted to talk a little bit about that the January 6th FBI investigation.
Well, not so much that as a bombing case that the FBI and Randa Devine, who did a shill piece for all the existing FBI, did another piece that came out today attacking the kind of old guard. So it's kind of like, okay, so I sold out, but now I'll make it up by attacking the old guard, saying, and she had it absolutely right. You know, it isn't what this. You know, the motivation of the kid in his mother's basement. It's the motivation of all the FBI people from Ray on down for 4 years going, this is too complicated. This stuff is tough. We can't figure this out.
And the files are corrupted.
Yeah, and the files are corrupted too.
Cell phone
I
files
can't
are
remember
corrupted.
which company it was. One of them, they'll go, who?
I was
You know, I
reading
don't know. I can't remember right now.
some other stuff was, I read something today and it was going back to some of the congressional testimony years ago, right? Where the FBI, and there were FBI documents where it appears to indicate that the FBI did kind of come up with this guy as well, and then just kind of dropped it and didn't pursue it. So, you know, here's my thing, a couple things on this is I kind of am curious. How do I say it? I mean, to me, no one has still addressed the question of why did those cops pretty much ignore the fact that they had a pipe bomb, right, sitting right in front of them, right? When you look at the police response to all of it was kind of like, oh, not, oh, pipe bomb. Okay, hey, Bill, let's finish our lunch and then we'll go deal with the pipe bomb. No one seemed very worried. No one, I mean, I have a lot of questions about did this kid out of the blue from his mother's basement just start building bomb material all on his own, or was it kind of like, like the guys in Michigan, where maybe he's on some weird forums, although there doesn't appear to be a social media presence. I mean, maybe he's radicalized, so to speak. I don't know. Just once again, they're going to be just like Thomas Crooks. They want
Wouldn't you
us.
have to get, kind of the terrorist handbook or something to build the bomb? I mean,
Yeah,
you
you'd
just
have
don't
to
go,
search
hey,
it
I
out
wonder what,
somehow.
I got this.
Yeah,
I'll do
all of a
this. And
sudden, it's like Thomas Crooks, right? It's like, nope, lone wolf, sole actor, and everybody just screwed up. That's what happened. So I have a lot of, I mean, I think the Biden administration probably at some point came close to this guy, realized that solving it wasn't going to help their narrative. The whole insurrection thing was going pretty well for them. You didn't know need to throw, a black anti-Trump guy into the mix. It would just confuse things. I also have a feeling, though, that the current FBI doesn't seem to be particularly interested in that's like, okay, we caught him. Thank you. Everyone move along now. Hooray for us.
Well, it's incredibly, once you were talking yesterday saying this back when you could ask a prosecutor a qu question, it wasn't quite that, okay, once they arrest somebody, you'll never find out anything again. You'll have a court proceeding, but that is, the defense will not take the stand and you'll get a few prosecution witnesses and you'll learn nothing.
Well, and my guess is,
And
well, they're
that's
Russian,
what we
aren't they?
have now. You learn nothing. Okay. Will we learn anything about who exactly in the FBI? Well, we know Miranda Devine gave us one name, Attunio, but he left and now it's part of PG, which is an accounting consulting firm, which I'm sure he's doing a great job at. And it's just kind of like, well, that's your FBI. Sometimes, they want to spend thousands of man hours doing nothing. And that's how it works in the big city.
Well, and I think I'd be surprised, this would be my guess, when all is said and done, although this has been a huge deal nationally for a few years and a big mystery, so to speak, the actual charges are not massively significant. My guess will be there'll be a plea bargain of some sorts, right? And so we'll never actually know anything about it. It just seems to me that there are just a lot of questions that the current FBI, and I'm glad that they arrested this guy if he did it, and it seems like, it certainly looks that way circumstantially, at least, right? But on the other hand, there's just a lot of questions that they haven't answered. Even if they were to come out and say, you know what, we've looked really hard at it, here's what we've done, blah blah blah, and everything seems to point to, no, it was just him. He'd actually been doing this for a while, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know. And say we talked to the Capitol Police and we said, why didn't you guys care about this pipe bomb there? And they're like, oh
We
man, we
would
just
never care.
we don't care about
Us?
anything.
We don't give a shit about anything. So some kids walk by. That's their problem. They gotta move a little
Wait for
faster.
something. Do you know what I mean? Something to address these questions. And I think the bigger thing is, not the bigger thing, but another big thing is, a part of me, I'm like, I don't trust anything the FBI says under Biden or under Trump. No offense to Trump, but it's kind of like, anymore. Just like I don't trust what the pharmaceutical companies say under Biden or under Trump, right? The one thing we've learned in the past few years is all of these people will—they'll, lie. They'll break the law. Like Charlene said, will that be breaking the law? It's like they don't law schmoz. They're more like
Well,
guidelines.
the Prussian Prime Minister Otto von Bismarck was famous for saying men should not see how their sausages or laws are made. He should expand it. Men should not learn how anything is done because underneath it, it's just rot. Everything is just awful. I mean, the FBI is this massively incompetent, massively corrupted institution that God knows what they do. The courts, of course, are disgusting. I mean, it's just kind of really, who do you have any, what, who do you have trust in? And you kind of go, nobody. I don't know. I mean,
Kind of trust you, but I was worried when you were late to the show today. I'm like, what is Chuck doing?
we trust Shohei Ohtani or something, because he can throw a fastball and hit a home run. So let's trust him. But, it's just all of them. It's just, human beings are incredibly flawed, fallible ones. And that's why institutions are important, because an institution is not technically a person. And therefore, it's, you can go, well, okay, we got
Here's
a good
the other,
institution.
when you look at some of the timing of this, Miranda Devine, I wonder if she got played a little bit because she comes out with this giant hit piece basically on Cash Patel and Dan Bongino. I wonder if some of the deep state operatives in the FBI knew that this arrest announcement was coming, and so they wanted to get that out there to try to undermine Patel and Bongino. Or I wonder equally the other way around, right? I wonder if they said, oh my God, let's hurry up and rush this through now that we've got this hit piece on us, so everyone will quit talking about the hit piece. The other big question I have is, I guess they want us to believe, and there's some truth to this, that they kind of went through everybody's cell phone. I mean, they have the surveillance tape, so they know kind of the time frame of when this person was there. And they went through and they picked cell phone pings and things like that, right? Which the geofencing, I guess they call it, which can be somewhat vague. And yet I know Mark Poff has been on and explained how it works, but he said, you know, it's certainly not foolproof and you really need to know what you're doing. So I guess they want us to believe that they got his, he came up through that, and then they're like, okay, well, we've got, you know, 12 guys or 12 phones being pinged. Number one, I'm assuming that the phone company, once again, didn't need a warrant to start releasing our personal information. I mean, we know that from January 6th, right? They just, they didn't need a warrant. So they get this guy's name from the phone company, and then they start like going through every Home Depot or Lowe's or hardware store for months. I mean, I just kind of wonder if something didn't happen that pointed them in this guy's direction first. I mean, a lot of times that's how investigations go, right? You get a direction first, and then you kind of work from there and you support it. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, what I think happened is that the new guys came in and asked somebody who wasn't on the top, saying, well, who was the bomber? Oh, yeah, he was Brian Cabral.
Oh, that's what Brian
Jr.
called.
He did, yeah. But you can't just say that. You got to dick around for a month, do some surveillance, do whatever you need to do, but just don't embarrass us by going, oh, okay.
Yeah, bringing the wrong guy out. Well, I suspect what happened is, and again, that the Biden administration, what happened is, well, this is a story that you referenced there. This is a million years ago during a big murder trial. And I will not release the names to protect the not innocent. But there is a question of phone calls. This is before very early in the cell phone era, about phone calls, right? And there is a question of when were the phone calls made? And it seemed to me to have some significance. So I asked the prosecutor, I'm like, well, when were those phone calls made? You know, was that significant? And he said, well, we don't know. And I'm like, what do you mean you don't know? And he said, well, we just didn't think it would help or hurt our case, so we just didn't look into it. And then he said, now the defense hasn't brought it up either, so I have to assume it wouldn't have helped or hurt them. And he said, you know, Julie, trials are not really about the truth. Trials are about winning.
Julie, come on.
Yes, silly reporter. And I go back to this, and I kind of think at a certain point, the Biden FBI said, hey, look, our insurrection thing is working well, right? We're just going to stick with that. Any weird case out there that could mess up the insurrection thing, you know, we're just going to leave alone and drop it. We don't need to figure out who this guy was. But then, you know, I don't know if the current FBI, like I said, they don't seem to be asking questions that I would ask of all those Capitol Police guys, you know, of all these people. It's like, how come no one cared, you know? And the person who found the pipe, I mean, there's just so many things out there. But I get the impression that Patel and Bajin are like, okay, yay, hooray for us, case solved. Now we're going to
Okay, so it took 5 years and 4 years and 364 days of it was just utter bullshit. And then we came along and they said, okay, it's this guy. It's guy in his basement, but that's, you know. All right.
From Jacob, then there's a governor of Minnesota helping people rip the country off for $1 billion. Yeah, here's why we've seen this massive rise in autism in this country, because the federal government is giving grants to Somalians to deal with it, right? So everybody and their mother now has, or their brother or sister, their dog now has an autistic child, even if they don't even have children, right? You just register them. They're like, oh my God, autism is exploding. It's like, well, perhaps if we got rid of the corruption behind funding the grants for autism, maybe a lot fewer people would have autism.
Well, and the Somali people are perfect Democrat immigrants. They come over to this country. They've got no education usually because the whole school system dissolved and everything else. And they're incredibly clannish. So they all get together and clump together in places like Minnesota,
Yeah, why
Minneapolis.
Minnesota though? If I were from Somalia.
Welfare benefits. It's the most generous state with welfare benefits.
Oh, as I
You
say, okay.
know, they have warm hearts, as Ilhan Omar Shamar said. They have warm hearts and they're stupid. They're retarded.
They're stupid.
Many of them are retarded, like the governor himself.
They're more retarded. Can I try, Charlene? Oh, really?
Charlene, you want to weigh in on the Somalis?
Oh, well, I just want to weigh in on something funny. There's a guy named Comic David Dave Smith. He's hilarious. He does YouTubes, and he's got like 3 million subscribers, kind of like Theo Von. And he was doing a thing on Bongino. Bongino said, "You know, I get to work at 7:30, and you know, like I stare at these four walls, and I'm separated from my wife." And we thought he was like divorced, right? No, he's just separated. She's at home, and he's at work. But he says, "I'm separated from my wife." And so the comic says, "Oh, gee, Dan, I'm so sorry. You know, I was like, my apologies. I was feeling sorry for you. You know, I thought you were getting to work at 11 o'clock." Oh my goodness, just forget everything I said about you. Anyway, it's just hilarious. I just sent you a clip of
It's
it.
on the link. I'll take a look at it.
Yeah, you might want to play it. It's just, but he's given both Patel, because Patel has a security detail for his Indian girlfriend who has turned overnight country and Western music star, just overnight.
Kind of reminds me of what's his name? Who's the coach? The coach.
The older man that had the
Yeah,
face.
whatever her name is. Yeah,
Belichick.
yeah, Bill
Security.
Belichick's girlfriend. Yeah, I kind of.
Yeah. She does
Jennifer
it.
Jordan or something.
Detail, and he flies his big FBI plane down there to her concerts. Meanwhile, Marjorie Taylor Greene, for going against Trump for, you know, wanting the Epstein files released, she's getting 700 threats a day from people who have turned on her because of Trump. She gets no, so she pays for her own security detail. So anyway, those are some funny people if you want to hear the other side, because there is a whole group splitting from Trump, and they're calling themselves America First and not MAGA,
Okay.
because they feel like he's kind of
MAGA,
throwing them out.
they'll help get
Yeah, I
Gavin
think they're
Newsom
out.
elected.
Those are all
Well,
that. Those
but Trump split the Republican Party, remember? But it really helped MAGA.
it sounds like a
Yeah.
winner
Yeah.
strategy.
Well, I mean, we've seen how, and when you can pull away from the rhinos, how you can get MAGA. But then when MAGA pulls away from MAGA, then it's time to move on
Then
to.
you end up with nothing.
And you end up with the bushes. Hey,
Okay.
Sean, okay. No. Hey, yeah,
Thanks.
Jacob, this is pretty funny. He says, "No wonder the Vikings lost four Super Bowls." It's like low IQ. Well, with that, though, I mean, you're right. I mean, that is.
Let me go back to why the Somalis are a perfect Democrat refugee. So they're incredibly clannish, and they're Islamic, and as they say, they're Islamic first, the Klan second, Somali third, and that doesn't leave a fourth. So they just go to Minnesota, live off all the welfare benefits, start up Little Mogadishu, and like Big Mogadishu is a great city, right? You'd want to set up a little one because a big one is such a success. Vote 100% Democratic. They will never assimilate because they're clannish, they're Islamic,
When they've
they're
taken over,
yeah. I mean, they've got it. They've got,
assimilation needs to go the other way.
and they got it'll vote. They'll vote 100% Democratic. You know, they may leave a ballot blank maybe if they really hate the Democrat, but they'll vote
But don't,
Democrat
isn't that the
part
place
of the
where that guy
time.
was collecting all of the ballots too from the Somalian
Oh
apartment complexes? Yeah.
And
What
so,
about you?
it's e pluribus pluribus. You
Yeah,
know, out of many are many. And
Jacob's got
that's
his
what
hand raised.
Somalis are like. They're great guys. You never have to worry about them assimilating and becoming Americans or any of that. None of that. But they will vote 100% Democrat. So this is a great, we had some more in. You know, it's George
Let
and
Jacob go
Papa
ahead.
Bush that had the first ones come. And ever since then, up to now, we've just kind of gotten everybody's cousin and uncle and everybody else in it. You know, 100,000 in Minnesota. It's great. It's what's made
Jacob,
this country great.
that's a Jacob way. Jacob, go ahead.
No, my pet peeve for today is the sale of 621 and 633 17th Street, the two towers, for a grand total of
I
$3.1 million.
saw that. And
What's
I
this?
think they're going to turn them into affordable housing complexes,
The
right?
old First National Bank buildings, the two
Yeah.
towers went for $3.1 million.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
Well, because
almost
I
like
mean,
chump change.
that says,
Wow.
and aren't they, isn't, I mean, I'm sure they're going to get government grants, right, to turn them into affordable housing. I
To affordable to well, I don't know if they're government grants, but they're going to turn them into condos. That's true. That means it costs more to insure them than they bought them for, because
Yeah.
I'm sure the insurance policy is going to be like $7-8 million a year. At the same time, the city buys the Denver Post building for $95 million, can't collect the rent, and Webb in his infinite wisdom got rid of all the hospitals, so there's really nothing to do in Denver anymore, to create money.
No.
It's all
Well, and
sitting
now they're
here.
screwed because I was reading a thing too, Colorado, once go figure, once you crack down on they don't call it illegal immigration, they call it international immigration. And there was a
Yeah.
story in the Denver Post, all of the international immigration into Colorado has stopped. So
Oh,
now
no.
we're losing people. And the economic outlook isn't that good. You're like, you're kidding me. Go figure, you know.
Those international immigrants don't come in. It's hell.
Well, like they were, you know, they weren't staying and they were taking up resources and not working. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in downtown. I mean, I don't know. This is my prediction, Jacob. They're not ever going to be turned into affordable housing. They can't sell the condominiums they can't give them away
That's
downtown.
correct. That's correct. And what really irks me is I found out they're building this big chip factory down in computer chip factory down in Arizona. That's the one where Trump wants to bring in all the Indians to train us.
Oh,
Denver had first dibs on it, then they balked at it.
yeah.
Why?
The
Because it
mayor
would,
just turned it down.
well, because it would be an economic benefit, and he's trying to
That's right.
discourage.
No, it's because we get our hands dirty. He doesn't want anything environmentally unsafe in Denver.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Okay.
Meanwhile, your natural gas prices are going to explode too.
Oh,
Hey.
that was the other. Oh, that's the other thing. We're sitting on what, 500 million barrels of oil in the Denver Basin. We could be pumping that out and paying our property tax with that, like they do up in Wyoming. But
No,
he won't do that either.
won't do that either. They're going to just raise prices. So it's
Yeah.
a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing it's winter in Colorado. Hey, Jacob, thank
Goodbye.
you. Thank you.
Take
Yeah, that
care,
was
Jane.
kind of, I don't know what they're going to do with downtown. I read a thing that said, oh, the foot traffic is increasing the 16th Street Mall now that the construction is all done. I'm like, it's December. You know, we got December, January, February. The foot traffic on the 16th Street Mall is not going to keep increasing,
Well,
right?
I wrote an editorial where they said, okay, we're going to have all these new bond proceeds. This is different from the most recent one, just for the 16th Street Mall and the area around it. And they said, we don't know, what do you want? What does everybody want? Would you like a kind of dog park? What do you, the people, want? And I said, they know what they want, which is the developers. They need money. They can buy these buildings cheap, but to convert them to any kind of housing requires tens of millions of dollars. So that's what they'll do. They'll give them to all the
That's what
developers.
I'm saying. They bought
They'll
the
change it
buildings
into
cheap.
affordable or who knows what kind of housing. And then we'll have a permanent kind of broke, maybe we can bring
Well, here's the
Broke
thing that'll
Street
happen.
Junior.
This is what they'll do is they'll get bazillions of dollars from the government, from us, to convert them, and they don't care that no one's ever going to be in them, right? They will have gotten the money from the city to convert them, and then like you said, then they sell it to somebody else, right? It's not the developer who's going to be on the hook for it. It'll maybe be the city or whatever. And you know, they'll make their profit and they'll move on. So
It's
and we'll
all
have a
good. It's
bunch
all
of
good.
empty bins. It's all good. Hey, listen, that's going to wrap it up for us today. On Wednesday, I'm texting back and forth with Ash Epp, and I think we may get her on to talk a little bit about this whole Tina Peters thing. And again, and I think it's just this interesting the stuff that came out today. Want to thank everybody and everybody who chimed in as well. We appreciate all you guys. And wait, what's Jacob saying? Oh, the tax revenue from those, yes, the tax revenues from those buildings is going to go from 50 million to zero. That'll be good for the budget too.
That's that doesn't matter. It's all the little houses that the mayor is building for the homeless. That'll make it up into property
That'll make it
taxes.
up.
Well,
Hey,
when you
anyway,
gain
that'll do it.
one, you lose another. It all equals out to a happy city. All right, everybody. Take care. Have a good day.
We'll see you on
See you on
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Bye, everybody.